Hey, welcome to church. If you are newer here, my name's Scott, one of the pastors here. If this is home for you, welcome home. Do me a favor real quick. We're going to wake up a little. Go ahead and say hello to everyone that might be watching online right now. You can just do that. Welcome. All right. So we have been going through a book of the Bible called Acts. And just to kind of play catch up for a second, we are in Acts chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can open up there right now. And this, the verse 1, begins a story about a couple. And it's a story that we kind of unpacked briefly last week. And it's a story that we're going to unpack this week and next week even, because I think it's important for us. I think something that you need to discover, or maybe you already know, is that it's the relationships in your life that cause the most blessing and benefit, but also some of the most pain and annoyance and hurt. And it's the relationships around us that I think we discover a lot of the pain of life and the how do we manage this and get through this and whatever it might be. And I think it's important to understand that, but also to understand that is kind of created by design. Here's what I mean. From the very beginning, God is building something. God is building a family. God says that the church is a family. It's brothers and sisters that we, because of Christ, now we're family. Like, it's the most weird and dysfunctional Thanksgiving dinner, but every time we gather together, it's that kind of family. That's what we're supposed to see. It's not just some place that we both go to, but we don't know each other. We're supposed to do life together. That's the church. God is building from the very beginning. God is building the family. He's building relationships. He, from the very beginning, builds marriage, and he says it's good, like he has a purpose for it, and it's from the very beginning he's building something. And it's in Acts chapter 1 through 4 where we see he's building the church, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, that they're proclaiming the gospel. All this stuff is happening, and they're discovering he's building this. But it's in chapter 5 where we see, all the while, Satan is trying to break things. Everything that God builds, Satan tries to break. And when it comes to the family, the believers, all this, all the time what we see is God is building and Satan is breaking. God is building the church, chapter 5, Satan attempts to break it. God is building relationships and this community that people walk out life together, support each other, all this stuff, Satan is trying to break it. God builds marriage and says it's good and it's a blessing and these partners together could do far more than you could ever do on your own. And all the while, Satan is trying to break it down. It's important to see this and understand this, so when we look at this story, maybe we see what's happening here, this tension, this war, this battle, if you will. So we're going to go into verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, and it says this. It says, "But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart?'" Hold up just for a second and see this. From the very beginning of this story, Satan causes this. There's this war, this battle that's happening in this moment. For Ananias and Sapphira, there's this spiritual warfare that's occurring in their home, in their marriage, at this point. For us, we don't recognize it, but all the while, what you need to discover today is that every problem, every issue that you see in this world, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships, in every way, it first started in a spiritual problem first. And it's a spiritual warfare far before it's a human just condition problem. Here's what I mean. We look around, we see economical problems, we see political problems, we see war and division, we see marriages and divorce, we see all of these different problems that you and I are facing, that we're seeing, that we're going through, whatever it might be, but all the while, it's important to see that this is not something you can just solve of your own accord. It's not something, if we just had the right politics, it'd fix it. It's not something that if we just had the right money, we could fix it. It's not something that if we just listened to the right motivational person or therapist or whatever it might be, it might solve this problem. You have to understand this, that it's a problem first spiritually before it's a human, like, physical issue that we see. So when you see this, then you begin to maybe discover really what the answer is. The whole while, we're thinking that we're humans and we're good and we're getting better. We're impressed by ourselves. Look at technology. Look at accomplishment. Look at all these things. But if we stop and we really look at things, we always see that man, we still mess things up. And humans are pretty disgusting sometimes. And they do some horrendous things. And those things haven't really gotten any better. And there's still this problem. Because what we need to discover is this. That the problems that we're looking to solve and find solution and hope for, the only answer that you can find in that is that you need the presence of God. He is the only one that can answer those problems. It is a spiritual warfare problem before it is a human problem. And this is at play in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, in this marriage of these two. Remember, you got to understand, like, these two people are in the church. They were a part of the church, like, from very early on. They were likely in that room when they all prayed, when persecution was coming. They said, God, give us strength that no matter what the situation is, we will stand firm and proclaim your good news. And then what happens next? This story right here. They were with everyone else, proclaiming, God, come, show yourself, use us. And then here, everything seems to fall apart. Continue reading for just a moment, and it says this. You've lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell and not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out, and buried him. How gangster is that? Verse 7, about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And the problem is she falls into the same trap, and they both give in to this. And here's the thing. From the very beginning, God is building, Satan is trying to break. This tension, this war is happening in their home, in their marriage. Remember, they are, I believe everything says they are committed Christians. They are in it. They sometimes we treat it as if as long as you say Jesus is Lord and Savior, then you're immune to some of these problems. But that is not what we see and what we're guaranteed. No matter how much you go to church, no matter how much you read, no matter how much you pray with each other, there is still a battle at stake, and it is spiritual warfare. And I promise you this, God builds marriage from like chapter 2 of Genesis, and he says it's good and it's a blessing. So what do you think Satan's going to try to break first? This is where we see so many problems in relationships, in dating, and in marriage. Satan is trying to break this down, trying to ruin things. And understanding spiritual warfare is understanding the issue we face, that you and I face on a daily. Now, understand, like, I don't mean maybe in every scenario. You've made some dumb actions because of some dumb decisions from some dumb thoughts you had. Like, you just did that on your own. You're really good at making dumb decisions. Me too. Maybe you lost that job just because you were too lazy to get to work on time. And when you were there, you weren't really working. Like, Satan didn't even have to try. You ruined that for yourself. Like, we can understand sometimes that. But you got to understand also, maybe you grew up in a home and a situation where the way you look at yourself today is undervalued. And you treat yourself and the way that other people treat you a certain way because of how you grew up. And now every weekend you get blackout drunk and you sleep around. And that is a spiritual problem that continues in your life, and it will continue in your life for a long time. And it can ruin marriages and relationships. And spiritual warfare is at play from a very young age to the moment you are today. And what Satan tries to lie and tell you about yourself, about your marriage, about your relationships, all of this stuff. And it's all at work, and it happens from the very beginning. Let's just go back to the beginning for a moment. If you were hoping today was going to be a really happy day, I can't promise that. But what I can promise is we're going to look at an issue that I think all of us have and we face constantly, and I think we need to discover and learn. So, back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2. God creates Adam, right? Creates animals, creates all this stuff. It's all cool, it's good, it's that. He looks at Adam and he goes, there's something missing here. He says, it's not good for him to be alone. And then he says, I'm going to create a partner. Like, man, humanity, we are not complete in ourselves. From the very beginning, there's this lacking feature, this community, this marriage. Eve is brought into the picture. This beautiful moment. Marriage. God from the very beginning kind of instills and builds. And then, literally, a few verses later, chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Here's the thing. Right away, Satan already manipulates what God said. That's not what God said. God never said that. There was one. There was this one thing that you should say. This would be like if your kid walks into your home and goes like, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. Because that's how our kids talk. And you go, hey, the fridge is yours. The pantry, whatever you want. Just don't go in the laundry room and try to eat a Tide Pod. Some of our kids might. Here's the thing. If your kid response is, you're not fair. You never let me have everything. Like, how dumb are we? But this is the problem. This is what I'm getting to. Garden of Eden. There's this one tree. The rest of the garden full of trees. But most of us look at God as this judgmental, lawful, religion, like just you're not allowed to, like condemnation God. Now there is judgment and there's justice in him, but there's also this reality that we look at the garden and there's this one tree and the rest are grace. Free for you to take. In the same way, why this is important, why I bring this up is, one, I believe that from the very beginning we see how much God loves us, that he gives us free will. There is a choice, and you can choose, and the problem is for so many of us we have. But from the very beginning what we see is Satan manipulates. And he takes the word of God and twists it. And for many of us, we are believing a manipulated version of who God is, of what God says about our relationships, about what God says about our friendships and our marriage. About your parenting, and you've believed some lie that has been manipulated about how you're playing a role in this. The woman responds. She's like, no, of course we can eat from other trees. She goes on and she says, he just said we can't eat, we can't touch, we can't look at, like that kind of, or we're going to die. And the thing is, there's a version of like, yes, but also it seems like she begins to add to slightly. And this too is the same problem for so many of us. So many of us, we add to God's word all the time. As culture changes, we want to change slightly with it. What sounds good now didn't sound good back then, so we begin to change it, add to it. In the same way, in your relationships, for some of you, you had that argument that one time, and you've kept on adding to what they said that one time, those hurtful words that caused wounds in your life, like, but you've added to it over the course of time to much more than it ever really was. We do this all the time. All right, you know the rest of the story, right? Adam, Eve, garden, the snake, and then they eat the apple, and then sin, and then they're all like, all of a sudden they're surprised. They were the whole time, but now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're naked, right? And they're nervous and all that. You know the story. Here's the question. Who sinned first? Who sinned first? Some of y'all women right now are like, you better not, right? Some guys in here are like, yeah, kill him. It's the woman's fault, right? Here's the thing. Where was Adam the entire time? Right next to her. Right next to her. What was Adam doing right then? Nothing. What was Adam saying right then? Nothing. Hear me out. Men, some of us, you've stopped being a man. We've become passive. We've become quiet on the sidelines of our life. Check this out, this stat. The average church attender, 60% are women. Women lead better than men when it comes to church. I heard that. Here's the thing. Check this stat out. If a man goes to church with his family, with his children, with his wife, whatever the situation, with his family, with his kids, the kids are 67 to 75% more likely to go to church as adults. Check this stat out. If a woman goes to church without her husband, with the kids, the kids are 2% likely to go to church as adults. I'm not saying this because women, you don't play a role. You don't play a role. I'm saying this because men, I believe you're designed and God created you. You're an influencer. You're a leader. And the problem is you're either leading your family to God or away from God. And for too many of us, we've become passive and silent. We're sitting on the sidelines, not realizing the influence that you play. And even when you're silent, you're impacting and leading your family. But in all the wrong ways. Now hear me, women, understand, I'm not saying you're not essential and you're not leading. God from the very beginning says, man, it's not good, man, to be alone. I'm creating a partner. Like together, there's this more wholeness about you from the very beginning. But I also want you to hear that sometimes maybe you're struggling because your man isn't like stepping up into the role you want him to step up into. Sometimes you need to be there to encourage and spur him on to that. But also, you might be more spiritually like stronger than he is. Maybe you've followed Jesus longer, whatever it might be. You need to encourage him and let him step into those roles. Okay. The Bible's clear. Men, like you are leaders and influencers. What are you leading to? How do we do this? First of all, like maybe some practical women. Let me tell you. Like, understand, this is, you're a force, you're a team. God from the very beginning builds the family unit for a purpose. I think for a better picture that when the family is strong together, like following Christ together, that God's going to use the family to reach the others for the gospel. Like, our family is the one that reaches the one in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever it might be. This isn't a, you got off work, hey, I've been dealing with the kids all, like, tag, you're it. Like, it's a, we're in it together. It's not a wait till dad gets home. Sometimes it might be because your kid's a jerk and you need to do something. But sometimes it's like, no, you have authority also, right? But also, men, how do you lead with, like, spiritually? That's what I want to get to. Because I'm not talking about some oppressive, like, judgmental, like, he's the man and I guess he's in charge and he just does whatever he wants. I'm not talking about, like, well, he knows all the finances and I know none of them, so whatever. And all of a sudden he shows up with a new car and a new debt for the family and you're like, well, he's in charge. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is spiritually, men, you need to begin to lead better. How can you do that? How can you do that? Some of you are like, man, I'm not there yet. I'm still growing. Like, I'm new to my faith. I just want you to hear me. It's as easy as this. Every morning when you wake up, when you're getting ready to go to work and your kids are getting ready for school, maybe you get up earlier than your kids and you're out of the house before your kids wake up. Every night before you go to bed and your kids are going to bed, circle and just pray. And you start. You pray. You just say, you don't know what to pray. You're not sure, like, all the words to say. Here's the thing. Your kids are little. They don't really know either. So you're good. Like, just start there. Pray. Every Sunday, wake up, get ready, and then wake up your family and say, hey, we're going to church together. As for me and my house, that's how it starts. I believe that there are, man, there is, God has plans for families, for our church, but it starts in the home. And whatever that situation looks like, and hear me, maybe you're in a situation where husband and wife are not in the same home for different reasons, whatever it might be. Maybe it's not exactly what you wanted. It's not equally yoked. It's not like, but I still believe that God can use your home. But it begins with, how are you starting to lead your home? All right. Uncomfortable yet? Maybe a little like, nah, I'm not sure I agree. Like, here's another thing that helps in your marriage, but also in society. Sometimes we still need to learn how to listen when we don't always agree, especially in a marriage. Too often, we're not looking to listen. We're just looking to have our rebuttal and argument. All right. Genesis 3:8. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. I love that because all-knowing, all-powerful God. And it's like, let's go hide behind a tree. Like, that's going to work. But then the Lord God called to the man. Where are you? He replied. I heard you were walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. A picture of what sin reveals to us. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Can you just see for a second how quickly Adam becomes so much of a wuss? Right away. Like, Adam's response right away is like, "It was her fault," right? He turns immediately into the kid asking for a Tide Pod. It was her fault. Not only that, so he's complaining right away. "It's her. I married the wrong woman," right? But also, "And God, you made her. It's your fault." Like, right away, no responsibility. The man immediately abandons it. God turns to the woman. He says, "Why have you done this?" And she responds, "The serpent deceived me. That's why I ate it." Immediately she turns and says, "He deceived me. I was lied to." Here's the thing she doesn't do. She doesn't blame her husband. He was right there. I'm like, this guy can't leave. You messed up with him first, right? Like, she could have done any of that. She doesn't. Sometimes I think, like, guys are always like, "I want my ride or die," right? Like, "It's my woman, my ride or die." And I get what that means. But I think often we change really what we mean by that to what it needs to be. What you don't need is someone that doesn't call you out on your stuff. The way they do it is important. When they do it might be important. But accountability and support is essential in a marriage, in a home. Too many of us are looking for a ride or die that will ride us right into a brick wall because they won't say anything. Like, that's not what we need. And she's silent about him. Okay, come back. From the very beginning, God is building. Satan is trying to break. From the very beginning, God builds a marriage, man and woman. Satan tries to break that immediately in the garden with Ananias and Sapphira, with you and with me, in every situation. If you are younger, if you're dating, if you're interested in getting married, or if maybe you just recently got married and everything's so exciting, I promise you this, when you're married, it doesn't get easier. And I don't think we're promised that. I think actually with marriage, it almost gets harder because spiritual warfare will enter more than you've ever imagined, because what Satan wants to do is break that, destroy that. Satan shows up in their marriage. Satan will show up in ours. All right. Next week, we're going to unpack maybe a little more practical. I haven't told anyone else, but I'm telling you right now, like, next week, I want to encourage you, if you want, we're going to just unpack some maybe heavy topics, some difficult ones, some questions, whatever it might be. If you want, you can literally text, email, social media message or whatever, the church. And next week, maybe we can unpack some of those. That's what we call systematic theology. When you look at God's word and you say, what does God say about this topic? Not just let's go verse by verse, but maybe sometimes let's talk about a topic, an issue, and say, what does God say about that? And he says about that in many different letters and scriptures throughout the Bible. So I want to do that next week, because here's the thing again. Marriage, dating, friendships, relationships, community, the church family, all that, God builds. He has a purpose for. He has value for. But those are the same areas that so much pain and heartache and hurt has come from. And we need to discover, how do we get this right? How can we discover God's blessing and his hand in this? So next week, we're going to unpack that. If you want, just send it in. It's anonymous. We're not going to call you out. But here, what I want you to see is maybe most important. How do we conquer and get through this? I think maybe the most important thing is forgiveness. And here's the thing. For some of you, you've walked through some of the hardest times of deceit, of adultery, actions and the words that have been said, of hurt, and these scars you still carry today. And you have been at a place where you said, okay, I want to, and we said we would work on it, and we'd try to fix things from the moment where everything fell apart. And I said I would forgive, but you also are walking through a season where it's like, saying it and doing it are two different things. And I think maybe the problem is that you've been trying to forgive of your own strength. And a forgiveness like that can only come from one strengthened source. I believe you need to maybe even right now just go, God, I don't know how, but I'm asking you to give me the strength to move forward, to see our marriage reconciled and redeemed, to see my friendship that has been divided reconciled, to see my family that has been broken apart reconciled, to see all this that is, I know is possible because God, I know you're all powerful. I know you can, but God, I hand it over to you now. I think that's the only way that you can see this. Okay. Satan is real and you are under attack. Understand this. Spiritual warfare and gravity are the same. They exist whether you believe it or not. And it has real impact on your life whether you believe it or not. And it is at play in your life. And maybe your marriage is under attack. Maybe your faith is under attack. Maybe your relationships, maybe your parenting, whatever it might be, is under attack. So the question is there any hope? Is there any hope? No, let's pray. All right. This message was a little different and I knew it. I was like, man, sometimes we have to talk about some hard things. And maybe there's still some things that you're wrestling with in which I said. And I encourage you, that's where conversations happen. That's where family happens. Where you're like, nah, I disagree. Like, great, let's talk. But here's the thing. The thing that leads us closer to Jesus than ever are the relationships that we have. The things that hurt us the most are the relationships that we have. The things that we experience, the biggest smiles in life and the biggest stories that you tell, and when you're on your deathbed taking your last breath, the memories that you have are the relationships that you had. Relationships, they impact our lives. From the very beginning, God builds that. He has a purpose for that. How do we discover the blessing in that? And how do we discover the hope in that? Here's the thing. God is building, Satan is breaking. But make sure you understand that properly. There is one and only one creator. And the creator of all things is building something. And something that was created, that chose free will just like you and I can, chose evil and tries to break things apart, he does not have the final victory. There is hope, and it is found in Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I would love to figure out how we can fix this. How we can fix this marriage, how I can fix how I'm parenting, how I can reconcile with my kids that are adults now, whatever it might be, my friendships, whatever it might be. And if you're sitting here today and you're going, I'd like to figure out how I can fix these things. There's the foundation to the home before you build the home. The foundation is this. You need Jesus. You want to fix your marriage? You need Jesus. You want to fix your parenting? You need Jesus. Anything in life that you want to fix, the foundation is essential. And it starts and ends with Jesus. While we were still sinners, while we still lived in our own sinful, selfish ways, we were separated from a holy and perfect God. But because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, paid that debt, paid that ransom, we are brought into the family of God. You are called a son and a daughter, not because of what you did, but because of who he is. And for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then this is what we're promised, that God is continuing a work in us, until its completion, finished, perfect, good. That means that today, tomorrow can always be better because God is continuing a work in us. But it starts and ends with, you need Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Just for a moment. Whatever hurt that you walk with today, whatever pain that you're carrying, the uncertainty of your marriage, the brokenness of your friendships, wherever you stand today, just a pause and a realization. It is not that you come up with a new idea of how to fix it. is that you go down to the foundation and realize we need Jesus in our marriage, in our friendships, in our community to see anything flourish. Maybe today is a moment for you to go, I've tried to solve things on my own. I've tried to solve things my own way, but I need Jesus. Maybe for some of you, today is the day for the very first time. Others, maybe it's a moment where you've gone, I've gone off stray, I've gone sideways, and I need to come back. Right now, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, I welcome you in to my life, to my heart, to my mind, to my actions. God, that you would guide and you would lead me. You would guide and lead my home, my relationships, my marriage, my parenting, my friendships. It is I who no longer lives, but you live in me. Have your way.